Warning! This episode contains foul language, discussions of murder and cannibalism, and is also a full video on YouTube.
Weirdos, you are listening and watching Keep It Weird and or Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, bizarre, unexpected, ridiculous, spooky, galactic, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with each other from across the country in one way or another, and we talk about something weird. And this week is extra special because, first of all, we're on Zoom and we're recording our audio, which is very exciting, so you can see and hear us, which we love. But also, after several weeks of having amazing guests on our show, it is back to just being the two of us, your hosts with the mosts. And we are doing a very fun type of episode that seems to always tickle our listeners' fancy. We are always here for that. We love to tickle your fancy.
We are
taking questions submitted by you, our loyal and wonderful weirdos, in another edition of Ask a Weirdo. And questions are varying from what kind of podcast equipment do you use to what are our romantic feelings on movie monsters to our deepest, darkest fears. Anything goes, basically. We like to be an open book and show our truest and strangest selves. So that is what we are here to do today. We won't waste any more of your time. We're just going to jump right in and take some questions. So hello, welcome to Ask a Weirdo. My name is Lauren and this is my beautiful co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
Who I get to see her face.
We get to look into each other's eyes. It's a very exciting day. If you are just listening to this episode on iTunes, Spotify, Libsyn, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Google Play, or wherever you listen to our podcast, then if the audio sounds a little different, it's because we're recording via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And you can check out this episode on YouTube someday.
At some point. We'll see.
No, I'll get it done. Yeah, Ask a Weirdo. These are some of my favorite episodes. And it's one of those things where, like, as soon as we get done recording, I'm like, is anyone going to find that interesting?
Like, we say that every time.
Every single time.
People
are going to like it. And then we get so many messages that are like, I love today's episode. So, you know what?
I know.
Here
if you guys like hearing from us, then we will keep doing them. I think Seriously. It's us thinking, like, are we exciting in any way, shape, or form?
Are we interesting?
You guys are liking it.
Yeah. So Ask a Weirdo, you guys sent in questions. Actually, I think we might have gotten the most questions that we've ever gotten for an Ask a Weirdo episode.
Truly. It was just loaded.
Pretty awesome. But that also means we won't get to all the questions. So if you don't hear your question this time, maybe it'll come up on the next one.
Never fear.
We are here. Oh, also, if you have a ghost story, just a reminder, we are recording a listener ghost story episode next week. Uh-huh. And we still need a few more stories. So send us your spookiest experiences. And it doesn't have to be a ghost story. It can be a time that you thought you saw a UFO. It can be a time you had a stalker. It could be a time you had a glitch in the Matrix. Like, it could be anything. Any weird, strange experience you've ever had.
Anything bizarre, unexplained, whatever. Yes, here Thank for you. It.
It's my orange LaCroix.
Oh, I love it. I have a lime LaCroix going on right now. LaCroix in this cup and then still water in the other. So I can just have every type.
You can have both. I thought you were going to be like lime LaCroix and vodka in this cup.
Oh, I mean, and I thought about it. It's been a day. If working you guys, at Wilder's preschool is exhausting and it's hard labor. So it's,
working
I'm
at
still
any
I'm settling down.
Or school or around children. Mm-hmm. So, this is my office. First of all, do you love it?
I know. I haven't even seen it yet. Well, in like little pictures and snippets.
I know. It's still so not good. Done. I still have like a bunch of crap over here and I still have stuff that I have to hang up, but it's coming together.
It really is.
And I have
is.
To send you a picture. Good. My dad built me a desk. Well, he found a big desk and then he like painted it. He sanded it and he painted it and he put different handles on the drawers and it's Ron. Just a really great. I know. He's the best.
Amazing. I was also going to be like, he built an entire desk, but.
Well, he usually does. Basically. He built my sister a desk.
Who is
he's
he?
He's so amazing. It's he's so great to way. Live near your father too, especially when your father's Mr. Fix-It
or seriously. Mr.
I know how to change the oil in your car.
That's really what's needed, let's be honest. No, those car things we don't want to do. No, Ron is the best. I can't wait to see all of it. Your bedroom looked like it was coming together. I just love all of it.
It's happening. It's happening. So, first question. Let's just jump right into it. Ooh. This question comes in from Justine. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Justine.
Her question is, if you could be one supernatural being, what would it be and why? No take backsies.
I loved the no take backsies added on to it. So that's mm-hmm. very fair. Ashley, who would you be?
Well, if I could be any supernatural being, I didn't pick like a specific supernatural being. I literally Googled sure. supernatural beings because I was like, what constitutes a supernatural being?
Oh, did I? Because I was like, well, what are we talking about here?
Did you also choose which?
Yes and no. I had two answers, which I know isn't fair, but
no, that's
yes.
not fair because there's literally a caveat of no take backsies.
I know.
Which means
no,
you
I
can't
did
choose multiple. Okay.
I did put which as my number one answer because yeah. like, how could you not?
I know that's the thing. And like, technically am I a witch? Yes. But I want to be able to like stir my coffee without using my hands. And I want to be able to like clean my apartment without using my hands. Basically I'm lazy.
Yes, that was going to be my additional like explanation is that we do practice witchcraft and we can call ourselves witches, but yeah, mm-hmm. I want that. Like I almost want the Matilda powers. Yes. I felt like Matilda had her whole house dancing. She got her chores done. She was cooking dinner, making herself lunch.
Yeah.
That's the witch power. That
I want to be able to just like sing a song and have all my chores done.
I know. And do the little dance. Yeah, of course I want to be a witch, but okay. How about this doesn't count because she did say no take backsies, but can I say what my second
choice was?
And I think I said this when we did our episode about mythical creatures, but I uh-huh. also kind of respect banshees.
You just want to scream it out.
I just want to scream. I'm a loud person. I have been known as the loud friend my entire life where I wasn't allowed to always spend the night at friends' houses when I was younger because they're like,
weren't?
I have to work. Certain friends, Lauren. Like if the parent had to work the next day, they would be like, Lauren can't come because she's going to be yelling loud. So I'm basically a banshee.
Wow.
So they were going to be my second choice, but they're not as fun as witch because they usually do most of their screaming when someone has passed away. And so mm-hmm. like, that's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of responsibility. It seems pretty sad.
It seems depressing and like it's a lot of work. So really what I'm saying is I just want to be a creature that yells, but mostly a witch.
Okay.
Then there's my answer, everyone.
Sure,
sorry,
sure,
Justine.
Sure.
it's so absurd.
It is. What else can we do with our witchcraft? I mean, I guess here's the thing, because everything I thought of was just like, I want to be able to get things done without doing it.
I know. Like, I'm a lazy person, and
because
I
because that's really what
that.
I would use it for. I wouldn't be like, right. I want to disguise myself to trick people. Like, I don't want to trick anybody.
No, I just want to get things done more efficiently. So it's like we could use it for ourselves to mm-hmm. be super lazy, and that might sound selfish, but what if it's also a way that we're helping other people who like they can't get out of bed, they're sick in bed or they broke something, like mm-hmm. witchcraft. We'll bring witchcraft. It in. We'll help you. It can be our service.
Yeah.
I like it as a way to help others.
I do too. Yeah, that's why I want to be a witch.
Just to help the
just
world.
To help
world
other
peace. World peace.
Okay, speaking of witches, this next question is about the witching hour. And I actually have notes for this one because I covered it recently on a bonus episode. So I just like copied and pasted some notes from that so I could go over this. But
oh my gosh, please.
Yeah, this question was sent in by Caitlin. Thank you, Caitlin.
We love you, Caitlin.
She asks, if 3 a.m. is the witching hour and time zones mean 3 a.m. happens in different places for hours on end, is the veil between our world and the ghost world tied to time zones? Mm-hmm. Which, like, yeah, that's a good question. Like,
it's 3 a.m. really where? Good question.
3 a.m. where you are currently, 3 a.m. in Egypt, like 3 right. a.m. where? What's the witching hour? And
so true.
So essentially what I learned, because when I did research on the witching hour, I also didn't know what the witching hour was. So aside from like everything I knew about the witching hour was what I learned from like Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Sure, exactly. It's horror movies and books have said like 3 a.m. That's when stuff happens.
That's when it happens.
I call the witching hour 5 p.m. because that's when Wilder is acting fool. So it can your witching hour can be whatever you want.
Your witching hour is whatever is the worst hour for you.
It's the worst hour of your life. No, but please inform us.
For sure. So essentially the witching hour is kind of made up.
Okay.
Oops. Yeah. It's Whoopsies. Not real.
Oh, that's disappointing.
And it's a different time according to different people. Like for some cultures, the magical hour or the witching hour is midnight. And you see that a lot in like fairy tales and different like old timey stories, like Cinderella, for example. Like the spell is broken at midnight because midnight is when a new day begins. So all of the magic from the day before is over and the new magic from the next day is beginning.
It's coming into place. Okay.
Exactly. Some cultures believe the witching hour to be all night, dusk till dawn. Like if it's dark out, that's a witching hour. That's
so you just have to be scared?
You just got to be scared. Yeah. It's basically like when it's dark outside, that's when the veil is the thinnest, which, okay, that makes no sense, but it's fine.
It doesn't. And I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
When it comes to traditional Christianity, the way that the witching hour thing started was because back in the day, there were certain types of prayers recited at specific times of day, much like, you know, Islamic prayer is done today still.
Right.
And a lot of these would be performed publicly. So like a liturgical prayer, and the ones that took place in the middle of the night because everyone was sleeping, it was basically just like a vigil. But since the middle of the night didn't have as much prayer happening, they believed it was a time that more demons and supernatural activity could take place.
Ah,
there weren't as many people praying.
Yeah, praying, not as many voices.
Praying away the demons.
Of course.
Yeah.
All the logical sense.
It totally makes sense. And 3 a.m. was focused on simply because it was a super important number in the Bible, the Holy Trinity et al. But also, supposedly Christ died at 3 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. I believe that was said at some point during my childhood. I don't know if it's real,
I don't know
but it's what was taught.
Sure. Supposedly JC himself died at 3 p.m. So 3 a.m. is sort of the inverse of that. And therefore,
okay. That's why it's
time of the devil.
The devil's time.
This is also interesting. The Catholic Church also helped solidify the 3 a.m. thing back in 1535.
Goodness.
They had issued a curfew from 3 to 4 a.m. to try and halt the efforts of the devil and the practice of witchcraft, because they believed that basically this was the time of night that witches came out to do their...
So don't give them any leeway. It's always about witches not being able to do it.
And here's spoiler alert, Catholics, witches can do witchcraft any time of day.
anywhere.
So that's kind of what the witching hour is. It's not
okay.
I mean, some people do believe, like, you know, a lot of for example, when we go on paranormal investigations, when do we investigate? At night.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night sometimes.
In the middle of the night. And there are different theories as to why you do that. Some of it is that the veil is thinner at night. Some of it is that at night there's way less, you know, electronics being used in the area, so it filters out a lot of like electrical stuff,
the
and
extra noise.
Another reason is that when you turn all the lights out, your other senses get heightened when your sense of sight is taken away, and more than likely if you're going to experience something paranormal, it's not going to be with your eyes, it's going to be with your ears or your touch or whatever. So
getting goosebumps all over your entire body. So it does make sense.
It does. And so, I mean, the witching hour, it's not like super crazy, but it's definitely not super real either.
Right. So I guess, does that bring you to the conclusion of it probably doesn't even, because it's not super real and it's more of this traditional thing, depending on where you're at, that it probably doesn't jump time zones?
No, or follow time zone rules. Yeah, I would say if anything, maybe the veil is thinner at night. I don't really understand why, like, that would be.
That's the one thing that I can kind of be like, okay, like, I see, I understand.
But definitely 3 a.m. I mean, I guess if you are a Christian and you believe in the Christian faith,
right,
maybe, but I don't. So yeah, I'm not afraid.
So then it's hard for you to,
I'm not afraid of 3 time.
I think if I like consistently was waking up at 3 a.m. and I was woken up that by, you know, strange feelings, then maybe I'd feel something towards it. But yeah, I didn't even experience the witching hour.
Write this down, but I do remember when we did that episode, I also found some information of like, okay, so why do some people wake up a lot at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, and you'll look at your clock.
That actually happens because we go through sleep cycles during the night. So and if you're going to sleep, well, it's usually, there's a couple times, like when you're go in between REM cycles, I have to burp again.
Hey, let her rip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let it out.
When you're going between sleep cycles, there are times where you're more likely to wake up. So if you're going to bed at like 1 a.m., 3 a.m., you're probably not going to wake up again. But if you're going to bed like at a normal time, like 10 or 11, 3 a.m. might be a time that your body is going through one of those cycles.
Totally.
And it's easier to wake up.
Yeah.
So
that totally adds up.
Super magical.
Yeah. So again, we might just be debunking the witching hour altogether.
We might do it.
But to go along with the time zone thing, I like one fun thing that I kind of thought of when she asked this question. So I'm like, I have no idea. Like, we don't know anything about the veil or the witching hour. But I was like, because people can have experiences with, you know, the other side or another universe, whatever you're believing is happening, since that can happen at any time of day or at night, that makes me think like your 3 a.m. could be somebody else's 3 a.m. if the witching hour is real. Like if you're having a 4 p.m. experience, maybe somebody in another country, you know, like you could be colliding with their 3 a.m. I don't know. I just think it's fun to think you could be colliding with the witching hour of another place.
Right. Well, and you also have to remember that we made up time.
Yes, exactly. So that's why it's like we make all of this up. So I think witching hour can kind of happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a 24-hour cycle, and we split it into two 12-hour blocks, and we chose 1 through 12 a.m., 1 through 12 p.m.
Yep, this was all on us.
It's all us. So if there is a witching hour, it's our fault.
Yeah, it's our own dang fault.
Not God's. Do not put this on him.
Don't put that on his shoulders.
Our next question comes in from Dave. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks,
you've heard his name on this show all the time because he's always participating, and that's what we like to see. And
here's a lot of feedback. We're all about it.
Dave said, replaced humans with Bigfoot on the evolution chart, and it looks like a much better fit. Discuss.
I mean, it does.
I mean, yeah,
it makes a lot more sense to me. Like, I don't know why we were the next step. It's like, it looks like there's a step missing.
Looks like there's
a step
missing.
And it should be Bigfoot, which I believe it's because, actually, I don't know if I believe this, but in my head, I'm like, nobody wanted to put Bigfoot on the evolution chart because they're trying to just shield that this being exists out in the woods. So let's just pretend it went right to humans and nobody's out there. And really, Bigfoot is hanging out like, yo.
Nobody puts Bigfoot in the corner.
I'm out here and you guys are camping in my home. And so I'm going to howl at you.
I'm going to howl at you. I mean, that's the thing is that this is sort of like the Bigfoot theory. Is that so?
Right.
It's Bigfoot is simply another evolutionary step. And like all throughout human history, evolution hasn't just gone like beep, boop, 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 boop. Like there are branches of evolution. And most of the time, one of them survives and one of them doesn't because one is more fit, whatever, whatever. But there have been times where two different species of Homo, lived at the same time.
Right. So it's like, Bigfoot could be a branch.
It absolutely could be another branch of human evolution that is very similar to us, but not quite us.
And do you believe that Bigfoot is still out there? Do you believe that Bigfoot once existed and maybe has like become extinct? Where do you fall?
Well, I actually, this was a question that's asked later, and I have more than one answer, so I'll give that answer now. I actually do believe in Bigfoot, and simply because I have seen enough footage and audio from people who are not in the paranormal world. They're not like, they're not searching for Bigfoot. They have nothing to gain from sharing this, and enough like firsthand stories to know or to feel, to believe that there is something. And I don't know if it's a humanoid or just an undiscovered animal.
Something nobody's ever seen.
I don't know if it's a ghost, like an ancient indigenous spirit of some kind. I don't know if it's an interdimensional being, but I definitely have seen videos and heard audio that scared the bejesus out of me.
The living daylights. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Audio is the scarier part.
The audio really gets to me. What are the tapes called?
I forget. I do too. I know exactly what you mean.
We've talked about it. Literally played them on the show.
We've had this discussion.
I'll put them in right here.
Yeah, they'll be somewhere on the screen. Yeah, it's funny because I remember how much we've grown. I remember looking back to season one or season two of our show when we would do cryptid episodes. I was a lot more on the fence about Bigfoot. I loved the stories and I loved seeing, what was presented as evidence, but I hadn't done a deep dive yet. So I was more just having fun. And again, that's kind of where we started saying, but isn't it fun to believe, which I still think is true. But the more we've talked about Bigfoot on this show and the more I've looked into it and the more, we're seeing this footage coming out that can't really be explained. I am totally with you. And I am that crazy person at parties now who is oh, Bigfoot's totally
real.
Yeah, and they're like, don't talk to that girl.
Don't talk to Lauren. She's loud and she's
loud. She's team too much and she talks about Bigfoot. But I just don't think we can dispute it anymore. And again, we don't know exactly what this creature looks like, exactly what it is. Yeah, I'm not claiming to know that, but I'm like,
there's something is there, I think.
Something out there, yeah. Which is frightening and really cool all at the same time.
I swear that one day Lauren and I are going to go squatching.
Oh, I forgot that we told listeners
it's
going to
be glamp squatching for sure.
We're going to be in the nicest setup.
No, I'm not a camper.
Wilder's been asking about camping, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
I will squatch, and maybe it'll be so far in the future that we're not even doing this podcast anymore. God forbid, but I'm just saying, one of these days,
we're
squatching.
Before we leave this earth, we are going to
leave this earthly realm.
We're going squatching, and it's going to be glamping squatching. I was trying to think of a way to put them together. Glatching. No, it doesn't work. You get it. Squamping. Squamping.
Scramping? Squamping?
Squamping.
You know what? We'll come up with something. By the time you see us next, that's not true. The next question came in from Jamie. Thank you, Jamie.
Your sister Jamie or another Jamie?
Yeah, it's my sister Jamie.
Okay. I mean, we had to see because we know there's a couple James.
There are a couple Jamies. This one did come in from my sister. And Jamie asked, what is your favorite Halloween costume as an adult or as a child? And I'm going to say, one as a child, one as an adult.
Yeah, I like
go first.
Again, I'm so bad at always picking one, but oh my gosh, my answer is actually the same as what supernatural being I'd want to be because I loved when I was a witch. But then the reason I say it's multiple answers is because I got to be Glinda the Good Witch one year, which was the most boring, but still fun. I wore glitter all over. And then
Came down in a bubble, Doug.
You're going to look at me and grow up. Gosh, it's the best video on the internet. I was Glinda once. I was a regular old witch, two or three years in a row. The green, the pointy hat, which it never goes out of style.
No.
And then I was also Sarah Sanderson 2 years in a row. So then I got to be a Hocus Pocus witch and wear a long blonde wig and wore so much makeup. My mom let me do it myself. And I tried to put her mole. It was a whole bit.
Listen,
And then as an adult, I got to be, this isn't necessarily my favorite, but it is fun that as an adult, I got to be Mary Sanderson. So like carrying on the tradition when I dressed up with Ashley. And then that is the segue into all of my favorite adult costumes are usually when Ashley and I do a sort of theme with our significant others and usually other friends as well. Rosemary's Baby is probably my favorite to date, but I really loved doing Silence of the Lambs last year with Leah, who was in town. It was so fun.
Silence of the Lambs was a real banger. I my favorite thing about Rosemary's Baby is that I went as
What's her toes? Creepy old lady.
The neighbor. The neighbor. And what was funny is we went to a bar after my party, and like everyone, I was usually near you, and everyone would be like, "Oh my God, Rosemary's Baby!" And then I would pop in and be like, "And I'm the neighbor."
And here's the neighbor. Hello.
And I'm Rosemary's Baby, because no one's gonna know who I am. I just look like a weird old lady.
But you did old lady well, like your costume was still legit.
Yeah,
but
no, I mean, it was a legit costume. I looked just like her. However,
yeah, Rosemary's Baby was so fun in that way where it's like, I guess as far as a standalone costume, like maybe my answer would be a little different. I just kind of paired it with like the most fun I've had is going as a movie with a few other people. And I just thought, like, sorry to pat ourselves on the back. We nailed Rosemary's Baby. Like, it was the perfect costume to have with a pregnant person. But then I didn't think we could do any better. And then we did Silence of the Lambs this last year. And even Ashley like had her doubts because Ashley's costume was out of this world. And so was our friend Leah's. She had, you know, the cage over the mouth. She was in a straight jacket. There was a dolly.
We tied her to a dolly.
Like, so they were like out of this world. And you would hear, you know, that I'm coming in to be what's her toes. Why are we blanking on everyone's names? I'm like,
Clarice
Jody
Starling. I remember that one.
Lord in heaven. I came in being Clarice, and Ashley even admitted that, like, before she saw me, she was a little like, Clarice, like, yeah, it'll be fun to, like, have her as part of the group, but can you really do a good Clarice costume? But boy, did I.
I was mostly just worried when you're like, I'm going to put the butterfly on my mouth. And I was like,
what?
Okay. Only because I was like, I can't do that. But of course, your husband is like,
my husband,
an amazing artist, and you actually did have the death head moth on your mouth.
I know,
and
he actually really nailed it. It looked good at the beginning of the night. That's the funny part, is as the night went on, it kept getting smudged. And then eventually Alex was like, you just have a goatee now. And I was like, oh, yep. And I just scrubbed.
That's fine. My favorite part about that costume, that particular costume, was how no one could talk to me because they
Ashley made everyone
so
very
uncomfortable.
She had some pubic hair showing.
It looked like
fake.
I was completely nude standing there in like low lighting. And some people were like, I'm sorry, can you close your cape?
They were just looking away.
Kimono?
Like, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, your kimono.
Yeah, they were like, I'm so sorry. It's really hard to take you seriously. Which,
gosh, it was so good though.
As a child, my favorite costume, and I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but it really is my favorite costume for so many reasons. It was when I went as the Crypt Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And
can't beat it.
You can't beat it. The best part about this costume is that there was no child size Crypt Keeper costume because it's a TV show on HBO that's rated R. So why would there be a child-sized Crypt Keeper costume?
What I love is that you have like this adult like mask, right?
Well, the thing is, my mom hemmed the, you know, it just had the traditional like Halloween costume, like cheap fabric, flowy tunic or whatever. So my mom like hemmed the sleeves so they weren't covering my hands, and she hemmed the bottom so I wouldn't trip. But we couldn't do anything about the mask. So the eye holes, it was an adult mask. The eye holes were about right here. So I was just blind. So the whole night, trick-or-treating.
Just like running into things.
Couldn't see anything. Walking up to houses, completely blind. And my sister, who was always my trick-or-treating partner, my sister was so painfully shy that she would not ring the doorbell, even though she was going to be standing there, even though she was going to be saying trick-or-treat with me, she would not ring the doorbell. But I could not see the doorbell. And my mom is hilarious and would not help, but she loved to watch. So we would literally get up to the door and I would be like,
feeling.
Just
and I'm imagining the person like already opened the door because they saw you coming, like, and they're just standing there with a bowl of candy, like, honey, like, we're here. You're like, chocolate.
And my sister's just sitting there.
She's like, oh my God.
I remember what she was that year. My favorite costume of hers was, and I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the show before too, but it's so fucking funny. I think about it all the time, how much pain I am in knowing that there's like no photo evidence of this. But one year I went as Ghostface from Scream. And again, mom, coolest. Mm-hmm. She gave me a fake knife and she dipped it in red paint so that it would be a bloody knife. Well, my sister was dressed as a mouse because she was still quite, I mean, a lot younger. I was probably only 9, so she was like 6.
And the story now.
She was a little like adorable mouse and she wanted a knife too. So my mom made her a knife, but then she was just an adorable mouse with a bloody knife.
With a bloody knife, which is creepier than Ghostface to be like a cute mouse.
She was scary
with a knife. Yeah, that's like a horror movie villain right there.
It really is.
That's the serial killer.
I have one more story from the Crypt Keeper costume.
Yes, please.
I wore that costume the same year I was in Brownies. I was in Brownie Scouts. And, you know, they always have mother-daughter tees.
Yes.
And so our mother-daughter tee was in the fall that year. So they made it like a Halloween mother-daughter tee. Mm-hmm. And my costume was the Crypt Keeper. So that's what I went as. And I wanted my mom to be kind of matchy-matchy. So she went as, she wore like one of my dad's Carhartts, his overalls, and she, I don't even know where she found this mask. It was a terrifying mask. It was like a mummy / zombie mask. So we show up to this mother-daughter tea, this Brownie Scout tea, just terrifying. Every other little girl there was like a nurse,
a princess.
Like a puppy. A puppy dog. And there were me and my mom, like two just horrific ghouls walking into this thing.
It's so good. That, like, I wouldn't have it any other way. Oh my gosh, Ashley, it's so good. And that is why you are who you are and why your mom is phenomenal. Like, Pam put up with all your costume garbage.
She really did.
Oh, that is the one other thing I wanted to add about costumes. Like, again, it's so hard for me to pick one. This is the hardest question because I think
we usually go all out and we always have. So it's not even like, well, one year I dress up. Every year we dress up.
Yes. And this would be like a good opportunity to insert these photos too in this video.
Absolutely.
But I love when I go as something terrifying and Alex goes as like the happiest,
Mr. Rogers,
most joyful thing. Like sometimes we are in a theme together and we do a partnership. We've done that a lot. And then other years I'm like, I'm going to be bloody. And he says, well, I'm going to be nice. And so I'll have to insert those photos. But my favorite is when he was Mr. Rogers and I was Carrie. So I'm covered in pig's blood and he's like next to me in his sweater and like powdered his hair. And then my other favorite is when he was Kermit the Frog and I was pregnant. So we were doing a Dr. Spaceman show. My band was playing and the band was like, let's wear costumes. They came in like cat ears and like alien headbands. Oh, that's all they wore. And I was in a blood soaked dress with doll hands glued to my pregnant belly as if a baby was busting out. And I had like blood coming out of my mouth, blood everywhere. So I didn't really match my band or my husband that night as he came with his Kermit outfit on. And I was like, yay, happy Halloween. So those are also some of my favorite years when we just look so mismatched. But also
I think
so
a really fun costume for Alex one year is to go as Jim Henson so he can have Kermit.
Have
or
Kermit
whoever.
With him.
Yeah, Jim Henson was the puppet of.
Yes.
I don't know if he was the puppet of.
I think
the puppeteer
he did.
Of Kermit.
He was Kermit's puppeteer, right? I feel like that's part
know.
Of like the glory. Oh, I'm glad Alex can't hear me right now. He'd be like, listen.
I'm surprised he hasn't come out of his office to be like, did I hear you just
ask? I hear you correctly. He's at a doctor's appointment, but he still could walk in any moment.
He still could have a baby monitor somewhere listening to you.
Dare she not know, but that is true. We could have like somebody on his shoulder and do the Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And then I'll just be some bloody being next to him.
Yeah, and you'll just be, you know, have a chest burster coming out of your body. Our next question comes in from Cassie. Thank you so much, Cassie. Cassie wanted to know, what are you reading right now? And what are some of your favorite books?
Love it.
Are you reading anything right now?
I am. I just started a new one. And it's funny because I sort of got it on accident, but it's ended up being like fun. I'm reading a book called The Final Girls Support Group.
Oh yeah. They're making that into an HBO show.
That's what I heard after I did some more research. But it's funny because I read Final Girl by Riley Sager, who writes a lot of like, just like fun, easy thrillers. Like I read a lot of Riley Sager. Reads. Yes, exactly. So I'm like, if you're looking for an easy, but like still thrilling and kind of spooky read, Riley Sager, like so good. So I thought Final Girl Support Group was part of that series. And I was like, oh, I got to see what happens next. No, it's by Grady Hendrix, who did My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Love it.
Which you turned me on to, which has like a musical additional thing to it, which makes it so fun. Which, yeah, that was the best thing you've ever turned me on to. But yeah, Grady Hendrix, the Final Girl Support Group. Is currently what I'm reading, and my brain is going completely blank on what I just read before that. But I've been doing a lot of thrillers lately because I feel like for a while I was reading autobiographies like back to back. Like I'm interested in these people and these are nice, but now I'm ready to like get the pants scared off me. So, but
I worked at Barnes and Noble years ago, a decade ago, when I worked there, when I was a youth, I read a ton of autobiographies. I just read a ton of books. I probably read like three books a week because you could borrow them.
Yeah. When you're at Barnes
& Noble. Secrets of the trade. You could borrow, when you work at Barnes & Noble, you could borrow books like it was a library.
I love it.
Right now, I actually have my stack right here because I'm always reading about six books at a time.
Yeah, you always have a bunch. I cannot. I have to do one at a time or my brain's like, what?
Well, I only read like one fiction book at a time. And then I just have other little, usually occult books or something in that vein that I pop open when I can't, like, I don't have enough time to get into. But I'm actually really excited because right now I am reading, fiction-wise, I'm reading The Midwich Cuckoos, which is by John Wyndham. He is a sci-fi writer from the 1950s. And this is the book that Village of the Damned is based off of. One of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time. And I'm happy to report that I only have like 20 pages left.
Okay, I was like, how far along are you and what's your review?
It's incredible. It's so fucking good. Almost like censored myself. Like all of a sudden we're on Zoom and I'm so like, I can't say the F word.
It's like now our audience is still the same.
It's so good. And if anyone doesn't know what this book is about, I'm going to read the back of it for you because it is fucking scary. A mysterious silver object appears in a quiet, picture-perfect midwich. A day later, the object is gone, and all the women in the village, they will come to learn, are now pregnant. The resultant children of Midwich are shockingly, frighteningly other. Given these unfathomable and potentially unstoppable offspring, the question arises, can Midwich and its youngest inhabitants coexist in peace? The Midwich Cuckoos is a genre-defining tale of first contact by one of the 20th century's most brilliant and neglected science fiction horror writers. What does that mean? I don't know much about John Wyndham's life.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, apparently. Wait a minute. Are we about to do a John Wyndham episode?
Well, I think he might have been one of those people where fucking Picasso or whatever. No, not Picasso. What's the guy that cut off his ear? I'm really
the artist.
History. Yeah.
Van Gogh.
Like where like when troubled he was alive, life. Maybe not appreciated as much. And then once he died, after his works death. Became like super famous maybe. But John Wyndham also wrote another sci-fi horror movie that I love very much called Day of the Triffids, which is another alien invasion. Book so
nice. Okay,
highly recommend that.
All about it. Yes,
I am also reading Many Mansions, the Edgar Case story, and this was actually recommended. Caitlin D.
Yes, I was like, somebody recommended this, and I have it on my reading list. Caitlin
D. of Goth Yearbook After Hours, who is also an incredible musician. If you haven't listened to her albums, they are on repeat in my house all the time. Caitlin D.
She's a whole vibe.
She really is. Her albums are on Spotify. But yeah, so this is about basically one of the most remarkable psychics who ever lived. That's what it says on here. And he apparently cured a bunch of people of different ailments they had. And he's sort of a medical marvel. So this is really interesting. And then the other book that I'm trying to read, but boy, the language is rough.
Okay. Probably. But
I'm reading Children of Ezekiel, which is basically looking at the events of the Bible as possible extraterrestrial contact.
Which I love, but love, like immediately, but boy, yeah, like God. That would take me a long time to get through.
It's not like, it's not reader friendly.
Sure. And I appreciate that review because, you know, again, it was like when I was talking about my books that I'm reading, especially because I, you know, had read through, I was doing a lot of biographies and autobiographies. And then I was also doing a lot of like how to books. Like I've been reading a lot more tarot.
Oh yeah.
Like tarot for dummies type books and same with witchcraft. That's why my recommendation is if you're looking to like kind of shut off your brain, but not shut off your brain because when you're reading, you have to have it powered up, but you know what I mean? An easy, like fun read. That's why I was like Riley Sager or Grady Hendrix, like all the books that are just like fun. They're going to be thrilling and hold your attention, but it's not, if you're looking for a challenge for yourself, it's not these books.
Not the place to go.
Ashley can help you with those books.
That's usually what I'm reading though. My Kindle is full of, I read like, you know, all sorts of thrillers and horror novels on my Kindle. And yes. I couldn't tell you what they're called.
I don't remember the names of any of them.
Yeah. It's like, what are you reading right now? I'm like, oh, it's a story about this like haunted house. And
here's
like
the
kid goes missing and he's like in the walls. Like they can hear him, but they can't find him. And they're like, what's it called? I'm like, I have no idea. It's on my Kindle.
No clue. I always forget the titles.
I don't know.
Ever since we got an Amazon Fire tablet for Wilder and I can read books on that. Yep. I'm like, sorry, you thought this was for you? Like, I'm just going to read on here. But yeah.
Okay, next question. The next question is sent in by, I don't know. Oh, actually,
because this was a couple people.
Because a lot of people sent this question in. A lot of people wanted to know how we felt about CERN firing back up. They want to know if we think we'll be seeing more Mandela effects, if we're going to get blasted into our old timeline or an entirely new timeline. Lauren, what do you think?
I definitely feel like we could be seeing some things shifting around and I kind of welcome it. I'm excited about it.
Honestly, bring it on. This sucks.
Bring it on. That's what I'm saying. I don't like this current timeline. And I am someone that like, I experience Mandela effects all the time where Ashley, I know you more have tried to, you have a couple, but I feel like in some situations you're like, everyone thinks this, but really it's because they're thinking of this. You're good at kind of finding the logic in some Mandela effects because some of them legitimately it's like, no, you were all just imagining it was this other scenario, which is usually true. But I feel like lately, especially, I've been finding myself in more things that I'm like, I swear this was the other way around. And I feel like I'm losing my mind. Yes, it's been happening a lot more in the last year, like in 2022. I didn't feel that in 2020 or 2021. Maybe it's because I was just so focused on the other like garbage.
The other horrible things that were happening. Yeah.
But I feel like lately, anytime I see one on TikTok or like somebody tells me, no, this is how it's always been. I'm like, okay, I really feel like I'm starting to lose it now. I even told my therapist, that's how much it's been affecting me, where I was like, is my medication too strong? I was like, am I losing my mind? She's like, no. But also I feel like very gracefully, she was like, we need to talk about this.
But maybe we should try a new med. So do you have any examples? Can you think of any examples like, off the top of your head?
Oh, well, this one is like, you're going to laugh, but honestly, I know it's come off as a joke on the podcast, but I have no memory of Bill Paxton dying. And we talked about it on that episode. And I know I do laugh about it, but truly, like after we recorded that episode
just
with Amy,
it.
And you guys were both like, he's been dead like for a couple years or like a year.
Well, because you were a huge Bill Paxton fan. That's why you were like, hey, I don't remember this. And that's weird.
And if it's a celebrity that I know well, because it's like, not that these are movies to brag about loving, but I love well, Titanic is, because Titanic's a wonderful movie. Titanic and Twister are like really up there for me. Twister especially. It was like my childhood movie. And my mom was like, hey, this might be why you're afraid of storms. Sit down, mom. And I would just watch Twister all the time. So I love Bill Paxton. And so when you guys said he was dead, I was like, no.
No.
I would have been the first to
know. They would have called me.
They would have called me. And so I, as much as I laugh about it, and like Alex teases me about it too, because he's like, everyone remembers when he dies. I'm like, I think I was on a timeline where Bill Paxton
where
was not dead.
And just fine.
And then I shifted. So I don't know. I'd like to go back to the other timeline.
I'll go I'd back say. To that timeline for sure.
I want Bill to be alive, but how do you feel? Okay. Do you think we're going to feel some
remember,
shifts?
I thought Christian Slater was dead. In that same episode, I was like, I thought he was dead.
We were like, what?
And then he's on a TV show right now.
Yes. But then you said you may have been confusing
him
with
Patrick Swayze.
It was Patrick Swayze.
Or an amalgamation of the two. Who knows who's alive and dead anymore?
I know, I can't keep up. But for whatever reason, the Bill Paxton one like really hit hard. And I know that, again, it's fine if you're at home laughing. Everybody does. But I am sort of like, was I on a different timeline? Because I really thought I saw him at like, somewhere? I saw him in another movie at a red carpet. And I
did you see the new one on TikTok where people are saying the Pharaoh looks different now?
Yes. And see, that's another one. But I'm like, I probably just have no idea what's going on. But in my head, it was always just a snake. I've never seen that bird.
Oh, is that what was different? Okay.
Everyone was saying he just had the hat with like just the snake, and now there's like another creature next to it that I have never seen. How do you feel?
Yeah. Well, I think that there is, I think Ramses just has a snake. And then.
So maybe that's what I saw.
Maybe. But I don't actually know. And King Tut has
two. I don't even know what it is. It's like a bird, another creature.
Raven.
See, and that's the thing, is I was trying not to like jump too hard on that one, because I did see that and I thought there has always just been a snake, but there is a case that I've probably just been seeing someone else.
I mean, maybe there's both. Who knows?
And King Tut had a bird or something. I don't know.
But yeah, I'll go into a new timeline.
I'd be all about it.
In a heartbeat, just to see what it's like. I don't know if it's going to transfer us into another dimension. But I will say, I just read this yesterday, physicists at CERN just announced on the 5th of July that they had observed three exotic new types of particles that have never been seen before.
I saw that as well. And I was like, that's why I'm so here for this.
And for anyone who's like, what? Excuse me? It's not that they're new particles. It's that they're new, like particles come in like clusters, like there's like tetrahedrons and like all whatever. Like, I don't fucking know. I'm not a scientist.
Fancy
but
stuff.
Yeah. So fancy things, fancy science things. And so they're new, like basically groupings of them that we've never seen or witnessed before that maybe we'd only theorized existed. So
it's just cool.
It's really cool. And it could teach us a lot of things. I wrote down a couple things that, CERN's collider might teach us. They're hoping to answer questions like, what is dark matter made of? So 15% of the matter in the universe is the kind we are familiar with. 15%.
That's crazy.
Of the matter in the universe is the kind we are familiar with.
That's like, reminds me of every time somebody says, this is how much of the ocean we've explored. I'm just 1%. Like, oh my God, we know nothing. We know nothing of our world.
And the rest is presumably dark matter, and we don't even know what it is. Maybe dark matter's ghosts. We don't know. We're hoping to learn more about it. The collider might also help us understand how we exist or what our universe was like before the Big Bang. A lot of people, one theory is that it was 50-50 matter and antimatter. So like nothing could exist, like because like they would cancel each other out. And then all of the sudden when the Big Bang happened, that's matter.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Matter.
And
here
then
we
it
go.
Took over, and there's only a much smaller amount of antimatter now.
Right.
But who knows? That's just a theory. And the collider may help us understand. Nope. Just said that. but yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff we can learn about turning this thing on. But you know.
Yes. There's going to be so much exploration. I'm very excited about it. I think it's so cool. I love that this lab is jumping back into it. So
me too. Even though sometimes you know, I mean, it's a scary thing. I assume that they've taken the precautions that they need to take. But at the same time, like, how do you know you've taken the precautions that you need to take? You don't actually know what's going to happen when you smoosh atoms together. But
when you're messing with this, let's see. I know. But, you know, it's like you said, I'm kind of just like, why not?
Why not? At this point, I'm so tired of living in a Christo-fascist country.
Yeah. I need something else.
That is dying.
That's dying.
I would just like to see what else is out there.
Yeah. What are our other options? Yeah. Do we have something else?
But you know what? I don't want to do like a grass is greener thing where I'm like, let's see what else is out there. And then we're in a reality where it's, you know, the grass is not green. The grass is red.
I don't want that.
I don't want red grass. I'll take the green grass. This is my favorite question that was sent in.
Oh, is it what I think?
And it was sent in by Leah, not Leah, who's been on the show before.
Right.
Listener Leah. If you did eat the rich, who would you eat / why / what would they taste like?
Yes.
Do you have an answer?
I don't have a good one, to be honest, because I like when I think of the rich, immediately Elon Musk comes to mind, and he would taste like metal because he's a robot. So yeah, I'm like, that like wouldn't copper, taste very good. Or yeah, it would be like that copper, like if you had a penny in your mouth.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want that. And then I thought of Bill Gates, but he's like kind of thin, and I don't know that he'd have the meat or the flavor that I'm looking for. So I actually really struggled with this because most rich people that I know, I think
not appetizing,
like garbage. So I'm like, who would I actually want to eat? So I'm
it's funny because the first thing that popped in my head for whatever reason, like, I don't know why. I mean, the first thing that popped in your head was Elon Musk. Why is that? First thing that popped in my head was Kim Kardashian. Cause she looks shiny and nice. And I bet she smells good. However, is she edible?
I know. Is there enough fake stuff?
That is not. Go.
I was going to say the rumor is that they, all of the Kardashian women, like they got BBLs like to perk up the booty and have now gotten them all taken out because lately they've been all looking a little thinner. So maybe she got part of the fake taken out.
There's still quite a bit.
There is, but it'll be the real, it'd be the real stuff.
Taken out. But, and this is not a knock on plastic surgery.
No,
I am a total advocate for plastic surgery. I want you to look however you want to look. If you want to look more feminine, go for it. If you want to have the biggest calves in the world, go for it. If you want to transform yourself into a cat person, go for it.
I
love it. Do it. However, I don't know if it's edible. I don't know if it's going to taste good.
No,
I don't
totally
know if chemicals in the body.
I was going to say just from an edible point of view, but that's why I was trying to say, well, let's see, like maybe she got
how
enough of it taken
she?
Out. I know that is true.
Had undead. Like
how much work?
But I came up with a perfect answer.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, if I have to eat the rich, I want the best tasting rich. And then I thought, okay, if human meat is ridiculously delicious, as Tales from the Crypt and American Horror Story and zombie movies have taught us,
right?
Then I think I would choose, maybe I already have. Then I think I would choose Armie Hammer because if he has eaten human meat and then I eat his human meat, I'm eating the humanist meat. There is. And
oh,
also a little
God.
Bit of a taste of his own medicine.
That is so logical. I mean,
it's
I
logical.
See where your head is going, but oh my gosh, he's like the last person I would expected you to say. I don't know why. That just truly shocked my system. I crumbled in my chair. Oh my gosh. But you're right. If he has tasted the human flesh,
he
as
also
it seems,
like
he has.
As creepy as he is. He's pretty yummy.
He's a handsome man. He looks like he'd be
I
yummy.
Could eat him.
It's like in the same way that you were saying Kim Kardashian looks yummy.
She looks
just
delicious.
Looks like, she looks like
candy.
So clean.
Yes.
And like, yeah. When people just look like clean. Yeah, you're right. Like we all can't deny Armie Hammer. Like he has the yummy look.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love your thinking. This is why I knew if I turned it over to you, I would get the answer I was
pretty
looking
dark.
For. Whereas like it's dark, but it's exactly what I was
pretty
looking
dark.
For. Where I was sitting over here like, man, all of the most powerful and rich people that I can think of seem like they'd taste terrible.
Yeah, one percenters are not tasty.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I'm like, because then I also was sticking to like this tiny, tiny group of like billionaires. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, I could even look at some of the Real Housewives, but all of them are so plasticky that I don't know, which again, that is their right. But do I want to eat their face?
Do you want to eat it? Yeah.
No, I don't want to eat it.
Pure flesh.
I want just the flesh. Like, who's the most like a natural celeb out there?
We have another question. I think it's also from the same Dave, but it could be a different Dave. I don't know. But we have another question from a Dave that says, Lauren and Ashley just switched bodies, Freaky Friday style. Oh, no. What do you do?
I loved this. I mean, I don't have like necessarily a good answer to it. I just loved the creativity. But I was like, I would fully enjoy my time in the Midwest if I switched with Ashley. I would be like, I'll go see my entire family. I will start with like the moment it happens, I'll probably be next to Joe. So I will start with turning to him and really freaking him out and being like, Paul McCartney is dead. And just like going into like Beatles crazy, but like having crazy eyes and
why
looking
are you trying
like,
to ruin my relationship? Why is the first thing you want to do is ruin my relationship husband?
If that's just for having fun, I would do that and then be like, oh, stop.
Just it's kidding. Just, I'm
it's
Lauren.
Just Lauren. It's just not better.
It's not better. He's gonna be like, all right, well, I'm gonna call the doctor.
No, that's not better, but I feel like it would just be my duty. No, but then I would enjoy my time in the Midwest, go see my family. I would also walk around with confidence because you have such good style and like the thick, luscious hair. I would just take like a walk around Illinois. I would walk around downtown Champaign and just be like, what? Don't even try. I feel like I would enjoy like the Ashley vibe for a day. And then I would also force your body to get up at a karaoke bar because the pipes are there. Like you're not tone deaf. You have the voice. But I think if I gave it like the gusto and like if my brain is inside your body, using that to know where the notes are, like you could do the best karaoke performance of your life and just blow the socks off everybody.
Okay, our answers are completely different. Your answer is you're trying to ruin my life. My answer was literally, honestly,
isn't ruining your life.
My answer was like, honestly, dog, not going to work for me because one, I don't want children. So that's immediately I love Wilder. Love it.
But you don't want to be his
mother. Anything ever
happened
to you and I was the only person who could raise him, would.
I know.
But I don't want that. Do not write that in your will.
No,
I would be
one
so fucking mad
you
at
you for that. I would never do that to you. No.
Also, two, even worse, I would be back in LA. And is literally my new stress nightmare now that I've moved. It's no longer exams week and I haven't studied. It's that I haven't left LA yet and I'm still in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And usually I'm also in the process of moving, which is just a fucking nightmare, but also it's just that I'm still there.
Yeah, you'd be stressed. That is so funny that she would be living my nightmare because she would have to be in Los Angeles with a child, out of nowhere, where like moving to the Midwest has been like your biggest delight. It has taken away so much of your anxiety. So that does make total sense. Whereas for me, I'm going the opposite of like, oh, this will be fun. I'll be relaxed in Illinois, like my hometown.
One of the questions I didn't put in here was from someone saying, when the heck are you going to drag Alex and Wilder to Illinois where you belong?
I know. And it's like, I do still want to. And I appreciate that our listeners also have been like posting real estate from Peoria and other places in Illinois,
checking
this
out.
Beautiful home.
Look at this Victorian home.
I know, I'm all about it. We will at least, if we don't land actually in Illinois, we'll at least be eventually closer. I've been very open about like, LA is not our forever home. So I totally also respect that Ashley is like true nightmare. But I'm sitting here, you said I was trying to like destroy your life. I think getting up at a karaoke bar and surprising people would be such a fun moment because you say you have, you know, the stage fright and you don't like being up there. That's the thing is I would release that from you just for one night.
First of
you
all,
get to put on a show and everyone would be like, damn, Ashley.
Were you not at Ben's party where I sang karaoke with Joe and I hit him in the mouth with a microphone because I was so drunk?
Yes. I wasn't there. I was told about that moment because you texted me immediately, like in a drunken text. You were like, I just punched Joe in the face with a microphone, but here's a video. And you sent me video and I laughed so hard, but I was also like, I can't believe I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because you know karaoke is my jam. So anyway, I just want you to kill it on karaoke. Sue me.
Well, so sue me. Okay, we still have several questions, so let's go through.
Oh, Lord.
The next question. Multiple people actually asked us about what kind of ghost we'd be or what kind of haunting we would do if we were dead and ghosts. Mm-hmm. So I guess if we died and we were haunting our house, what kind of haunting would we do? I'm the gassiest gator.
You are. I know. And I was like, none of my bubbles had me burping, or I think I've just been going like, oops. I've been swallowing them, which isn't good. My haunting would depend on who it is. If it's,
like, I said the same thing.
See? Cause I'm like, if it was my friends, I would like mess with them a little bit, have a little bit of fun, like move things out of their way. And they're like, I swear I put this here.
I could have swore.
If it was my parents, oh, I would be so loving to them because I wouldn't want to scare them. So I would be like so careful and I'd be helping them around the house secretly. And then to my enemies, to the people who bullied me in junior high and high school, I would scare the living daylights out of them. And I would make sure many nights of the week were terrifying.
The amount of sleep you are going to lose for the time that you insulted my blouse. I literally said the same thing. It depends on who I'm haunting. Like if I was haunting Joe, no, because I know he hates that stuff and it scares him. But then I started thinking about it and really started thinking about it. Like if I was dead and I had the ability to haunt, and I've never really thought about it until now in this much detail, I don't think I would make myself known because, like with Joe, for example, I wouldn't want him to know that I was kind of around and watching because I'd be afraid that it would affect the way he like lives his life. That's so like true. Maybe he wouldn't move on and find someone new. And that's
such a good
sad
thought.
Life. And then I thought about it. I was like, maybe. Because I absolutely believe in the afterlife, even though, you know, I have asked for, and I feel like I have, there are several times where I felt like I've seen my grandma, I've felt my grandma, right. I've felt her there, but I have asked, like, show me right now, I want to know, and I never get, like, a response.
Yeah.
And to me, that's always, like, so disheartening. But at the same time, I don't think that on the other side, you would make yourself that known because everyone has to die and everyone has to experience loss.
Yeah.
So if you get to the other side, you know that. You know that that's a huge part of the human experience and you're not going to want to fuck that up because if you make yourself so known that like there's no doubt that you're there, that's going to like take a lot of human experience away.
Totally.
From people.
I actually love that you had that deep of a thought because I know she wouldn't mind me saying this because she's an open book about it, but the other Ashley in my life, the other love of my life named Ashley, who is a widow, she has been talking about that a ton recently. So it's interesting that you brought that up because she used to really seek out Ryan in their house and like that first year away, you know, she's all just about like, how do I contact Ryan? How do I communicate with Ryan? And lately she's been like, even though I can feel him in many ways, and like sometimes I think he's like brushing right past me, I've started to kind of let go of that because how will I ever move forward if I'm just living in this life of like Ryan's here and he's next to me and I'm searching for him, I'm looking for him.
How could you ever like go on a date?
Exactly. And she's starting to think about that more. So she's like, as she's deciding to move forward and think about dating, she's letting go of that. And so that is like such a good thought that you had because she is somebody who's literally experiencing that and has felt Ryan. She doesn't feel him often enough that she's being held back yet, but she's noticing it and starting to, okay, I'm going to rein it in. I'm going to like not search for him as much. She's starting to take pictures of him down in the house and just kind of saying like, I have to move forward. I'm going to keep the things that are like very special, but otherwise I have to start a new chapter. So good answer from both Ashley.
From both of the Ashleys.
Yes.
From both of the Ashleys in my life.
It's a good way to think about it.
This one, actually, Jamie sent me this one too. She said, if you don't think an owl caused Kathleen Peterson to fall down the stairs, I mean, who does? What do you think happened? I didn't know if you wanted to answer this question at all. It was sort of a hypothetical, not a hypothetical, but it was like, here's an example of something you could ask us. And Jamie was just kind of like, what do you think? So I don't know.
What do you think of this? I don't know. I don't think like my opinion on it is that world changing, because I think it's kind of what most people think is that there was, I mean, Michael, I know they were very intoxicated, and I think Michael took it too far and pushed her down the stairs and possibly hit her in the head. But I guess they think the trauma on her head was from the fall, not from getting hit before. Now I'm trying to remember.
To me, it seems like the stairs were
the weapon. Yes,
but
okay.
To me,
like, that's how I've thought
it seems more like he slammed her head down a couple times.
Instead of a push, he was like...
He was slamming her head on the stairs. And the thing is I don't necessarily think he planned it.
No, I don't either. That's what I was going to say. I think it was a moment of passion, like a heated moment, because like we found out the next day, like one of the biggest parts of the story is that they were like drinking heavily and she was... You know, kind of stumbling around, and maybe he was stumbling around and they were just like angry.
Maybe they started fighting. Yeah, because the thing is,
I don't know that it was premeditated.
No, and he was having sort of extramarital affairs. And according to him, she, you know, knew about it and supported him, which absolutely could be true.
Totally.
But that doesn't mean that it wasn't something that caused tension or friction in the relationship.
Especially when alcohol is involved,
especially,
you start to be like, okay, I'm actually mad about this thing that I told you she, I was cool about.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They could have still fought about it. And like you said, like the initial hit could have been just something that happened. Like, and then he realized how bad the injury was. And it just spiraled.
Had to make
from
some
there.
Decisions from there, yeah. And then an owl had to come into the mix.
Well,
but
what I can tell you is that an owl was not involved.
It was not an owl. It wasn't crazy. An owl. But man, what a creative story!
What a creative, I guess. Brendan wants to know what kind of mics you use. We use Shure MB.
Shure, Shure, not the normal like Shure. Yeah.
They are really quality mics. You'll see them a lot of the time in really rich people podcasts. I couldn't think of the right word. Popular podcasts. I don't know. They're really, really fancy mics. Well paid.
Well paid podcasts.
Yeah,
because
three of these, I think, cost like almost $500.
Yeah.
They were
worth it.
Oh, yeah. We saved money. We saved Patreon money for them. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're Shure and they're a little pricey, but they're really great.
Good quality.
Lilo asked, would you ever do a Patreon video chat / meetup? We have done something like this before. Actually, every year on Halloween, we do a competition. So we've done like costume contests, pumpkin carving contests. Decorations. That's what last year was Halloween decorations. That one was much fun.
So
we
fun.
Also need ideas for this year's Halloween contest, by the way.
Yeah, to change some things up.
But during our pumpkin carving contest, one of the prizes was a Zoom party with us, and we had, I think, four winners, and it was a blast. We would love to do
fun.
That again.
We love doing that.
As for like a Patreon meetup, can you tell us how? To do a video?
Yeah, how should we do that? Because if
I'm
we
old.
Could do that, I know, like we don't know how to use technology, but if we
I don't
could
know.
Take, yeah, all of our patrons and put them
like
together
they get
and do a video.
A password for a room that they can enter and I don't know.
Do
like,
a
is
chat
that possible?
You can, I know. That's what you guys need to tell us, but
tell
we would
us.
Love to. Like that sounds amazing.
We're past our prime, okay? Yeah. And I don't.
We need your help.
We really need your help.
But we would love to.
We would love anytime
we get to see you even somewhat like face to face on the computer screen. We're obsessed with that. So please.
I mean, even if we did, maybe if it wasn't our faces, if it was just like you want to chat with us, we could always do, what the hell was that thing that?
Yeah, where it was hellier. Just audio. We did the hellier thing on it. What was that called? See, this is showing that our brains don't work anymore. But if any of you remember when you got onto that audio platform
Something
and
cast.
You got to come in a room with us to talk about Hellier.
We could do that again.
You could do that. Yeah. and people took turns like coming up and asking questions. We loved that. It was just audio, but still great.
It was still a blast. Okay, two more questions. This one's pretty easy. This one comes in from Ashley. And Ashley asked, what's your favorite non-traditional color that you've dyed your hair?
Easy. Teal. Which it just was. And yeah. Now I'm on purple.
I like the purple a lot. It matches your skin tone really, really well.
It does. And I've had purple before. In 2014, I had it right after Alex and I got married, which I always joked with him. Like, I got purple almost immediately. And I was like, did you know who you married?
Did you
immediately put color in my hair? I do love the purple, and it always, like, it goes well in my hair. It does go with my skin. Like, I hear you. But man, the teal that I just had for almost a year was a blast, and I do miss it, and I might go back to it.
Is it permanent or semi-permanent?
I do semi-permanent, just because with the permanent, you usually have to do a bleach before, and I just, like, wasn't ready to bleach my hair, but I have blonde highlights that have now faded a lot, but it's enough blonde that it really picks up semi-permanent color. And so with the teal, it was just washing out like every 20 washes, and I would just add some more every time. And then, like, yeah, same with the purple. I did it a couple weeks ago and it's faded, but honestly, like, still looks great. And after, my thought was I wanted to be a little more subtle. So I, like, cut my hair and I did the purple because I'm in a bunch of weddings this summer and I didn't want to clash with some of the dresses I was wearing, and the teal was like a lot.
Yeah.
But then after wedding season, I think teal might come back.
Yeah. I have never permanently dyed my hair ever, but I have
semi-permanent.
I have semi-permanently dyed my hair, and my favorite was a very dark blue that you kind of, it just looked like I had really dark brown hair, but in the light, where it shimmers, you could tell that it was blue, and that was my favorite. I'll probably do that again this fall because
you need to.
I loved it, especially if I do, I haven't done this yet, but I one time semi-permanently dyed my hair like a dark green as well. And I kind of want to combine the two and do like a, maybe a dark blue into the green.
Ooh. I'd be so here for it. I feel like the green I remember more. I don't know if like for whatever reason I was just seeing you more often. I was obsessed with it. But the dark blue was so cool, especially when it was like you had to be in certain lights for it to show up. It was so cool. And there was a time you posted on Instagram, I think, or Facebook, and you're like, somebody stop me from trying to put green back in my hair. And I commented like, do it.
No.
I loved the green.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to do it again.
Fun. Yeah. It's fun to have color. I've really been enjoying it.
And it's super acceptable these days. A lot of things like, I moved back to the Midwest and I thought for sure, like, I'm going to have to hide my septum piercing when I go on job interviews, and I got a job right away and I have my septum piercing out all the time. And I work in a financial advisor office. So it's just
who you think would care.
Yeah. Well, I actually found out from one of my coworkers. I was like, I'm surprised, you know, my boss never said anything, or our boss never said anything about my piercings. And he was like, well, do you want to know what he thinks? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. And he was like, well, from what I hear, he basically said, like, I don't like it, but what are you going to do? And I was like, hey, that's an okay attitude to have.
You can think that. I'm not glad you still hired
you to like it.
No, you're not.
I'm just asking you to shut the fuck up.
Just don't say anything about it. And I'm glad that you hired me.
Also, thanks for letting me be here. No, because so many people think that they should tell you something about it. Be like, why do you have all that stuff in your face? And I'm like,
don't.
To be honest, it's, I think, subconsciously makes me less approachable. And I think that's why I have so much stuff in my face. And if that doesn't work, I'll get a face tattoo. And if that doesn't work, I'll slice my nose off. Like,
just stay away just from me. Please.
Don't talk to me unless don't I talk to you.
Do I look like I want a chat? Funny.
Okay. Which leads us to a personality question, our final question of the episode. We had like three people ask us this, and they all asked, what is our spirit animal? And I do love this question, although I do want to say, maybe don't use the term spirit animal. I know a lot of Indigenous people who are like, it's fine, everyone has a spirit animal. And then I also know Indigenous people who are like, don't fucking say that. It's not yours. So I'm just not going to use it. So if we were an animal, what animal would we be?
I mean, again, me with my multiple answers, I have different answers depending on what exactly the question is asking. So it's like, what animal do I want to be? It would be like a snow leopard or a white tiger.
Negative. What animal are you?
Yeah. But what animal do I relate to? A freaking golden retriever, because they're people pleasers. I was going to say my dream would be to be a house cat, because I love like that they get to sleep all day, but then also be sassy. And it's like, we will hang out on my watch. And it's like, I'll love you when I want to love you. That's who I wish I was, but right. I'm a dog. I am loyal to the people in my life to where it's like, I just want to make you happy and I'll do anything I can. And I do love to like let out energy and party. Yeah,
very, very dog-like.
I'm very social, but then what I like is, this is how I was able to like come to terms with it, is dogs, just like cats, even though they, you know, love you a little more to your face and are very energetic, they can sleep hard and for long hours of time. You.
Yeah.
So like, I still get back to that lazy. It was the laziness we were talking about with the witch earlier. I want to be lazy and sleep like a dog and a cat. So yeah, that's why I accept it.
I always go for the answer cat when this question
comes
up.
You are a cat.
Well, I am, because then I took several personality tests to find out what they had to say. And my results were,
I love you.
Lion, cat, wild cat, house cat. And cat. So I'm a cat.
Ashley's a cat, y'all. You are a cat. My friend Elsie is a cat.
Like, absolutely.
You guys. And what's funny is people have told Elsie before that she is a house cat. They're like, if I could give you an animal, and you two both are the people that I put cat around. And that same friend told me I was a crow.
Crow.
I was like, do you have any explanation for that?
And do you
like,
bring people shiny gifts when they feed you?
I was like, why a crow? And he never explained it. He just like walked away. And it was like, okay, we got an explanation for house cat, but I don't relate to the crow at all. So anyway,
I totally relate to a cat. I do not openly give affection all the time. I give affection when I feel like giving affection. I don't have a ton of best friends, but I do have a close, you know, group of friends, like a handful of people that I consider close friends. I like to stay pretty well groomed. I love salmon.
Yes, you do.
Let's see.
The fish.
I love salmon. Ashley loves sleeping. Also very lazy and love sleeping. This is something.
Like, do you like a belly rub?
I do like belly rubs. I love sleeping so much that I look forward to it at night. Like I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, is it bedtime yet?
That's why I was like the cat.
Go to sleep. And Joe is the kind of person who's like, he hates going to bed. He always feels like there's some fun to be had. There's like more TV to be watched. And I am just like, it's 9 o'clock. Bye. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired. I also sharpen my claws on the furniture, and you find my hair everywhere you go. So I'm a cat.
There you go. We're a cat. And dogs shed a lot too. And my hair is everywhere I go to. The downside of having colored hair, I can't be like, that's someone else's.
That must be someone else's hair.
It's either purple or
it's purple.
This is a purple hair. Yeah, I'm with you. The sleeping part is what I connect to cats on, but everything else is very much dog. But again, dogs, they can nap hard as well. So I think
dogs are great.
We can do it. I'm not a crow.
I'm not a crow.
I want it to be known.
That was so much fun. Thank you guys for sending in all your questions and listening to our show and supporting us on Patreon and following us on social media. You really are. You're the bee's knees. We love you.
Best of the best. Thank you.
We do want to do more episodes on YouTube. If you like them, if you're like, I didn't really watch, then we won't fucking do them. Like, we're not going to do something you don't like. But it is nice to see you, Lauren. And I know it's probably nice to see our faces every once in a while, especially since we can't do like, that's what we should do. We should bring back
This Week in
Weird. There's a lot of weird news, and who's covering it?
No one's covering the news. I usually bring one or two stories to the newsletter, but it is not the same. We used to do like 8 stories. Yeah,
I know.
So,
okay,
there we go.
We'll bring
it
back.
It's happening.
There it is. All right. Follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast across all platforms. Please join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast and buy some merch. We have some, I was going to grab a t-shirt and go like this, but I don't have one. Buy some merch.
There's like one's far away.
www.keepitweirdpodcast.com/merch. We have all kinds of stuff. And I don't have a sign off.
I don't either.
That's
wait.
My sign off. What?
The tote, which tote. Mine is so dirty because this is how loved it is. I use it everywhere, and look how full of stuff it is.
Look how sturdy that tote is. That's a good tote.
It is holding like all of mine and Wilder's See? Crap that we bring to preschool.
And it's got our faces on it. It looks just like us. Buy a tote, kids.
Yeah. Oh.
Buy a dang tote. We don't really have a sign off. I think we should just say that we love you and to keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
I found a dollar.
You're rich. I'm so happy for you.
You ever fan yourself with money?
No, because I never have cash.
It's a dollar.